Welcome to the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast, powered by Jetro. Each week, we bring extremely valuable accounting and tax tips specific to small business owners. You will be on your way to growing your business and putting more money in your pockets. Here's your host.
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to another episode of the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast. Today, we have a special guest on, Kelly Coughlin from the Tax Resolution Help Center. And we're going to just be talking about various topics within tax resolution. Now, before we get into that, this episode is brought to you by Jetro, a digital accounting firm servicing small business owners across the country, helping them relieve stress around financials and save thousands in taxes. And I'm your host and founder of Jetro, Mike Jezoshak. So Kelly, welcome to the show.
Mike, how are you? Thanks for having me as a guest, and I'm glad I don't have to pronounce Jezoshak.
Well, if you did have to pronounce it, you did a very good job. So
did I nail it? All right. Excellent. I can handle Jetro Tax.
We were talking pre-show about wrong pronunciations of names, and Kelly said he gets that sometimes, but I think I'd probably beat you to that with people that mispronounce my name.
I think you do. I think you probably beat most people in the country, Mike.
Anyway, so what we wanted to do is just kind of talk about today, kind of business owners that might have some tax resolution issues, kind of what steps they should take and learn a little bit more about that. So just to start out, give us some stats, some data about tax resolution. What does tax resolution mean? If someone needs tax resolution assistance, what does that mean? Does that mean that they have a large tax bill that they can't pay? Or does this mean that they have back taxes, things like that? So give the audience a little bit of idea of what someone that is looking for tax resolution assistance, what kind of problem that they would have.
Well, Mike, I kind of look at it this way, is it's if you look at a balance sheet, you have short-term debt, long-term debt. If you have short-term tax debt, let's say it's, you know, a couple thousand dollars, thousand, you just don't have the juice right now to pay your current tax bill, but you'll probably come up with it in the next, you know, six months, 9 months, maybe 12 months. I don't really call that tax resolution. It certainly is tax debt, but it's just as I'm a slightly behind on my debt. You could probably, you know, use credit card to pay it off, something like that. Mm-hmm. That isn't what tax resolution is. Tax resolution involves, you know, the rule of thumb is kind of like anywhere over 7,500, might be 5,000 for some, but, you know, 7,500 to in the millions, where for various reasons, a taxpayer gets themselves into a bit of a jam with past tax debt. And those, the triggers of those jams are either, they tend to be in two categories. It's either income tax based, and then within that group, you've got 1040 income and let's say 1120 income, or you've got payroll tax issues. Mm-hmm. The latter two of those, the 1120 and payroll tax, are, I think, in the sweet spot of your target audience because they tend to be small, medium-sized business owners. Payroll tax and income tax debt. Now, there is a crossover, of course, when you have pass-through entities, business income on Schedule C or 1120S comes over to the 1040. And so there's a bit of a, you know, gray area on what has been business income tax and what is individual income tax. But generally speaking, those are the categories that we look at. And if they can't pay it, and it doesn't look like they can pay it within the next, say, 12 months, then they need to do something about it. And that's where there's a whole industry that's been created around the 10 million people that owe the IRS $83 billion in back taxes. And our studies show that 70% of the taxpayers do nothing about it, 20% try to DIY, do it themselves, and then 10% actually hire somebody. And that's kind of how it all shakes out.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So just to get, let's use an example. Let's say I have back taxes and back tax returns, finally got them completed. And all of a sudden I have a tax bill of $50,000. I'm a person that maybe ran a business, stopped running a business. I'm on a low income right now, let's say making $30,000 a year. What are some of those first steps that people try to do, that you would recommend people do? And kind of what is their route to the best route for them to try to resolve that issue?
Well, the first step that we would take is to assess the true liability. And that really gets into what type of tax is it? Is it income tax or a 941 payroll, say payroll tax? Or is it, and then when did this get assessed? And that's a key part of it. So the first thing that we try to do is get the tax debt that shows up on the ledger, and then assess, well, how much of this is really valid and when will it fall off? The IRS has 10 years from the assessment date to collect that. So the first thing I try to do is do an assessment on the statute of limitation to see what will fall off in the near future and what's kind of recent and won't fall off for another 10 years, because that really impacts the tactics that we use in resolving the debt. We're not going to want to spend, you know, frankly, it's kind of like you drag it out a little bit. If you've got a statute expiration coming up in a year or two, then you try to be slow and methodical and careful about it. And then bingo, by the time you get close to resolution, oh, it's fallen off, or you force it to be taken off. Mm-hmm. Because of the expiration date. So that's kind of the first thing you do, is assess the quantity, what type of tax is it, and then try to eliminate those that can be dealt with expiration, and then perhaps look at the most recent 3 years' tax returns to see if they were properly filed. Is there any ability to file an amended return to capture overpaid taxes? That's kind of the next step that we do.
Okay. So when you're doing that assessment and you're saying, okay, what is that tax liability? Are you looking at, let's say you have a tax year, you have a tax bill of $50,000 or $50,000. Mm-hmm. Now, by the time you get notices for it, and maybe you've ignored some notices, and now you're 3 years later. So that tax bill is from 3 years ago. That $50,000 turned into $70,000 because you have interest and penalties and all sorts of other things that add into it. So when you're really doing those assessments, obviously those factors come into play, but determining kind of which strategies and which steps you take, are you looking at the straight tax liability, or are you also factoring in, when you're looking at that outstanding debt, factoring in interest, penalties, and things like that?
Well, yeah, at its base, you're looking at what's the original tax liability. Mm-hmm. The IRS will never, and when I say IRS, I'm kind of speaking for the state agencies as well, so I don't have to keep saying, I don't have to list all 50 states when I do that. Is that fair enough?
Yeah, that works for me. Works. I'm sure our listeners would appreciate that.
Alabama, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas. So the IRS doesn't waive interest charges. So what they do is, if you come up with some compromise, you're really just dealing with the principal amount and the penalties, and then the interest related to those, the original tax liabilities and the penalty, that will fall off. But they don't waive interest. That never happens. So you don't really, in the first part of the event, you're not really focusing on these ancillary charges. You're really getting at the corpus of the debt, which is the original tax liability.
Got it. That makes sense. Now, let's imagine started a business, knew that the business was profitable, but I took that money, put it back into the business, bought other things, did some stuff personally, maybe bought a house. So I come upon this big tax debt. that says, let's use that $50,000 just as a good example number. So I have a tax set of $50,000 from 3 years ago, and now I'm in a different position in my life where I'm saying, I want to do things right. I'm sick of always trying to run from the IRS. What are some of those, is it something, one, do I have to, how worried do I have to be? Is this a time where I start to panic because I'm getting these notices from the IRS? Is an IRS notice always bad? Is it, always indicating, hey, next thing you know is going to be a knock at the door from an IRS agent and someone with handcuffs? What does that kind of look like for someone that is running into this kind of issue? As I know, this can be really stressful for people when they know they've made a mistake and they now want to try to fix it, but it can still be a very stressful time for them as this is just kind of hanging over their head.
Yeah, that's a good question, even though embedded in that was about three or four different things. So thank you for that complex question. I appreciate that. So one of the things I would say is, I bet I've talked to over my illustrious career, I'm 62, so I've been a CPA for, 30 years or whatever, something like that. I know it's been more than this, but I'm going to use simple numbers. I bet I've talked to, 100 IRS agents on these types of matters. And I would say that, honestly, I have had, since this is recorded, I'm not going to use a word, an inappropriate word, but I've had probably three that I would say are total jerks, right? Mm-hmm. 3 out of 100. I would match that, frankly, with any industry. I've talked to plenty more CPAs that go way above that number, right? And I'm sure you have too. You're not one of those, fortunately.
That's good to hear. Yeah.
But seriously, they have a job to do. And in the main, they follow the rules precisely. And they have a manual that guides them and they get a huge amount of training. But their goal is to collect tax debt. That's it. Now, that is pitted against our goal, which is to not enable them to easily collect tax debt within the law and within the kind of rules and regulations and best practices that we have to operate with. So to answer your question, should they be afraid? Well, they, like any tax, any debt collector, you need to give them your attention. Mm-hmm. They do happen to have a little more leverage than many debt collectors. Because they can garnish wages, they can, they can do many more things. So we call people ostriches that don't do anything about their tax debt. That's 70% of the market. Sometimes it works out for them. If they have assets, if they have anything to lose and they put their head in the sand, they will probably lose that. Mm-hmm. If they don't have anything to lose, then there's only so much the IRS can squeeze you, and you can't get what's that blood out of a turnip type thing. But it isn't the best way to run a life. And if you've got a family, married couple, it's a huge amount of stress on relationships. Mm-hmm. I tell people it's hard enough to make a relationship work, marriage, 2 kids, 4 kids, whatever it is. It's hard enough to pull that off and be happy. But when you've got this nasty bear poking at, or you poke the bear and it's just reacting, it can be very harmful to a relationship. So yeah, we're not big fans of just ignoring it because they can and make your life painful. I don't subscribe to I'm not going to mention any names of the tax resolution professionals out there that try to scare people into doing business with them. I don't buy into that. The IRS, they're reasonable, they're fair, but you need to know what you're doing and you can accomplish what you want. I will say this, you asked the long question, so I'm sorry, this is a long answer. You don't The IRS, the rules are set up such that if you cannot pay your tax debt, and if you truly can't pay this tax debt, as in you don't have a bunch of money sitting in an IRA or a 401k, you don't have any savings or, you know, limited savings, then you won't have to pay this. But you have to go through a process to prove up that case. And it is a bit of a cumbersome process, but if there's value there, if there's wealth there in the terms of a home, retirement plans, other types of assets, you know, investment assets, then they are kind of subject to IRS review, and they will want some of that. But there are some things you can do to try to protect those that we call it repositioning, to help, you know, to help taxpayers end up with a successful outcome for everybody.
Yeah. And one thing that you mentioned, and I can't agree with you more, is the fact that most of these IRS agents are not nasty. They're human beings too. And like you said, they're just doing a job. One thing that I noticed when working with IRS agents is that the only time that I've really seen them get nasty is two reasons. One, you're completely and have intentions of defrauding the government. That's where they're going to get nasty from. If this is an honest mistake, generally they're willing to work with you. The other time that I've seen an IRS agent get nasty, and this was a case that was brought to us that we took off of another CPA's hand, is if the CPA or the taxpayer is nasty to them first. And so a lot of times they're naturally going to end up responding back the same way. So I think that's a key thing to point, is that IRS is, they want to work through this. They want to collect and they want to work with you, and they're human. They understand struggles that you might go through. As long as you're doing and running your business above the line, and not completely trying to, you know, committing fraud, and you're respectful to them, they're going to be respectful to you. Now, it doesn't mean that this story might end up exactly how you want it to, but it does mean that you're at least going to be able to work with them on a one-to-one basis. And so I think that that's a key thing to point out. And another thing is that most people that run into these tax issues, it's a problem that they're not trying to avoid the government. They're not trying to not pay taxes. But from my experience, how this happens is they have a business. They may be a new business owner, or they might not understand the taxes. You know, so a business owner that's fairly fresh doesn't understand, you know, how they have to pay in taxes throughout the year and things like that. And they get their money throughout the year, pay no estimated taxes or anything like that. And they get to the end of the year, and here's the tax bill, and the funds that they need to pay that tax bill have already been used elsewhere. And so that's a lot of the cases that we see come upon us, is specifically with business owners, is that piece. So I think when we're talking about tax resolution, yes, there's solutions, and yes, there's things that we're talking about today, but a lot of it can be prevented. And that's just the fact of knowing about this, you know, the ability to pay estimate taxes, knowing that, hey, you're a business owner and you have a tax liability. If you came from a W-2 job, you're not used to having to pay taxes because it's done automatically for you. This is a kind of different arena. And so what we're trying to do in this, throughout this podcast and with our clients, is just reiterate that to clients about, you know, make them aware of what that means, especially for that new business owner.
Well, what I do with business taxpayers that have, especially fiduciary type tax, payroll taxes, and let's say sales tax. Those are the two areas that they end up getting into problems. You know, those are taxes that were collected from another person, right? Whether it be a customer or an employee, and they've been held for a short period of time, and they're supposed to be dispersed. And that's a different type of issue than you earned X amount of $1,000 and you have to pay payroll tax and the voluntary tax situation, and you're volunteering that you owe this tax. So it's a little more significant. And so what I like to do as part of any sort of negotiation with 941 taxes, payroll taxes and sales tax is, to the extent I can, is make sure that the taxpayer, the business taxpayer, never gets in this situation again. And that's part of our negotiation is, yes, there was a screw up, lost a bookkeeper, whatever happened, sloppy, careless, whatever it is, you know, own up to it, but then really instill in the defense and the new and the negotiation tactic that we're doing, we've taken the following remedial steps to make sure this doesn't happen again. And we're outsourcing payroll, you know, all that kind of stuff. They're on QuickBooks now, they weren't on QuickBooks or whatever it is, right? That we've taken steps to prevent this in the future. That's good for everybody, I think. It's good for the treasury, it's good for the company, it's good for human relationships, right? That they don't have to deal with this. So that's kind of our one of our tactics on this.
Yeah. No, I think that's key. Now you mentioned kind of people out there, you know, every time you turn on the TV, there's or radio, you know, you're going to hear something about tax resolution and you have massive tax debt and this guy just saved this amount of money and we saved this guy this amount of money. And you mentioned that a lot of those kind of providers are doing type of scare tactics. So, you know, they're telling potential people with this debt, the worst case scenario, just to try to get them to pick up the phone and, hire them to help them with the solution. How do you guys kind of turn that idea around and say, we're not here to scare people. We want to more so empower them or comfort them through this area and guide them along that path on how to resolve it.
Yeah. Good question. Well, we do four things at Everyday CPA: strategy, tax, accounting, and risk management. I call it STAR, STAR. And within tax, you have traditional tax work, which is tax preparation. And then as I started looking at the whole tax prep business, you get pushed and pulled into this tax resolution work. It's got higher revenue potential, higher margins, all this attractive stuff to that. But then when I started looking at it and getting into it as a business line, I've done it for years as one off, but as a business line, I realized that it kind of felt like ambulance chasing, Mike. You know, a little bit of it was kind of distasteful, and it wasn't quite what the way that I wanted to grow revenues, but yet I still wanted to participate in the revenue and profits part of it, but I didn't want to grow it in this distasteful way. And so we really looked at, I have a MBA from years ago, and I kind of went back to some of that basic stuff and realized that I think this industry was ripe for disruption. And the disruption is really around this concept that people can resolve much of their tax debt themselves. They don't have to pay this $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 fee and $10,000 and above to do this. They don't have to do that. There are many situations where taxpayers can do this themselves. I look at it like when you do a home repair, let's say you're going to replace the toilet and you take on that project, you go to Home Depot and you buy all the equipment and come back, you look at some YouTubes and, oh, this isn't too bad, right? I can do this. So you get most of it done. But let's say that you forgot the wax ring that goes around that the base of that toilet thing.
Yep.
And then let's say you have some guests that come over. Well, maybe you need help with that finished product, right? That's a little scary when you're talking about wax rings and water leaking down below, that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of this stuff that you could do themselves. So what we decided to do is allow people to get access to a platform, an education information platform called Tax Resolution Help Center. They pay a membership fee of $19.95 a month, and that gives them access to a whole bunch of experts. You and I knew one that we talked about before, Sharon's really good. You know, experts throughout the country. Then people can pick, they can attend open office sessions, they can attend a video webinar, audio webinar, listen to podcasts about some of the strategies and tactics. And then maybe they can take it to the end zone, right? Maybe they can do it themselves, or maybe not. Maybe they gotta turn it over to somebody on the red zone that let an expert take it in. We don't really care. Our goal is to make it in an environment where we empower them to A, do it themselves, or B, get help from somebody that they choose, not simply the person that's been hammering on them because there's a tax lien filed and they get a, you know, list of federal tax liens filed and then send them a postcard, keep hammering them to try to do business with them. They finally relent because their wife's yelling at them and say, you got to do something about this. And they finally do something about it. This empowers the taxpayer. We still think they need help. They can't do this without some help, but we think they can get a lot of the help by paying $19.95 a month and pay that for a year or two or three. Some of these things go on for two and three years. So pay a smaller fee and get help from experts and take it as far as you can. That seems to be, we're thinking that's a lot more palatable than the pain that people hate of, or people feel of writing a check to pay off a $5,000 or write a $5,000 check to pay off a $30,000 tax bill that they wish they didn't have in the first place. And so this kind of allows them to step their way to ultimately a good tax resolution. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how I got introduced to you guys. I really kind of like the idea that you have here. It's important that you kind of mentioned that there's a lot of people, a lot of companies out there that talk about tax resolution, but it's also the key of finding the right one. And so I like that idea behind giving people the option to do it themselves, to help themselves because and learn about it. So they're not just Googling stuff. You're providing legitimate information that they can do and potentially solve this issue themselves. But the other key too is if they run into a problem where they're like, okay, I've reached as far as I can go. Now I need some help. That you have vetted professionals on the back end that can come in and step into that place. And they're not just depending on a commercial or a piece of letter they received in the mail to be their saving grace. And so that's what I like about, you know, the system that you guys introduced to me and why I think it's a really good option for people that are struggling in this problem and to help them kind of resolve that tax debt.
Great. I'm glad you like it. We like it. We think it's a terrific, terrific program.
Awesome. So what I'll do is in the show notes, I'll include a link to the Tax Resolution Help Center so that if anyone is in this issue, there's going to be, you know, a resource that you can potentially go to help resolve this. And, you know, as we talk about in most of our episodes, we focus a lot on the prevention. How do we avoid stuff like this? And we're going to continue to do that. But I think that this episode came at a perfect time and is necessary because sometimes things happen. Life gets crazy and you get stuck with this kind of tax debt. And we want to make sure that we're not just talking about how to prevent it because we know there's people out there that are past that point. And now they need the help. They need to be able to resolve this. And I think that this episode lists as a good way to help resolve that. So,
yeah. And if I can add one other footnote to that, Mike, we have a secondary kind of membership level for tax and accounting and payroll professionals who aren't tax resolution experts, but either we personally think that anybody in the tax and payroll and accounting business should be a little, should up their game in terms of knowledge and competency. It doesn't mean they have to take a case and do it themselves, but it's a good thing to know as part of rounding out their overall education, you know, professional education. So we encourage non-tax resolution experts to participate as members, and some of them have gone on and become tax resolution experts where we kind of work with them. There's a great, real smart guy in New York that likes this industry. He wasn't 100% competent on it. So the first three cases we worked together on. Now he's ready to do it without me, which is terrific. So, you know, we share fees and work jointly on those things. So it's a great way for tax and accounting people to get a little more proficient on, at least knowledgeable on the tax resolution process.
Yeah, no, that's great. And like I said, I will include a link to the Tax Resolution Help Center, their website, in the show notes. So should anyone want to learn more about it, they can always go there. And, you know, Kelly, I really appreciate you jumping on. I think this is an important topic for majority of our listeners, and it's something to know about, and also something that we can go back on if we have a client come to us. We can direct them to this episode to learn a little bit more about it and, you know, find out kind of what their next steps are. So I appreciate you jumping on and taking the time today. It was a pleasure having you.
Great, Mike. I appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Now, one last thing before I go. Don't forget to check out our podcast website at www.taxsavingspodcast.com. That's taxsavingspodcast.com. This is a great resource to go and check out our most recent episodes, as well as find extra items if you want to take what we discuss here and dive deeper. Again, also join our Facebook group where we share tons of value and you have the opportunity to bring situations you are faced with to the table, and we'll help you out in that Facebook group, and other business owners will support you as well. You can join by simply searching in Facebook for the Small Business Tax Secrets group. Again, it's a Facebook group called Small Business Tax Secrets, and there should be a group that pops up that you can join.
This has been another episode of the Small Business Tax Savings Podcast from the team at Jetro. If you enjoy our weekly episodes, please leave a review on whatever platform you listen to us on and share with other business owners. If you have any questions or future topics you want to hear, email them to tax@jetrotax.com. Thanks for listening and have a great day.